Blog Talk Radio.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races for Saturday, October 30th. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us here talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from the Mid-Atlantic and around the country. My name's Frank Vespi. For the next hour or so, I'll be your host. A nice thing about a pod, we could go a little over. We'd be a little short. We're not slaves to the clock, but we'll be here around an hour, something like that. So thanks for spending a little bit of time with us this Saturday morning as we talk racing and breeding action. As always, Off to the Race is powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Catch them online. Catch them social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatnot. Also, free mobile app for your Android and Apple devices, so you can always have the latest news and info from the Mid-Atlantic in your pocket at all times. So keep up with Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding with our free mobile app. And also, speaking of free things, would be remiss if I did not mention we have a free handicapping contest today on theracingbiz.com featuring Delaware Park, closing day at Delaware Park. So that's a thing, and that's a thing we're going to be talking about a little bit later with Mike Valiante. Also coming up later, Derby Bill going to join us as we start to preview Breeders' Cup 2021. That's coming up next Friday and Saturday, where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. So always a big day, always a big weekend in thoroughbred racing. And speaking of big weekends in thoroughbred racing, last weekend brought us Maryland Million 2021. Always a fun day in Maryland, a big crowd out at Laurel Park, and happened to bump into some racing luminaries, including Hall of Famer King T. Leatherberry was in the house. Got to chat with him for a minute. Bumped into Preakness winning jockey Donnie Miller. He rode Deputed Testimony to victory in the 1983 Preakness. Deputed's trainer was in the house too, Billy Boniface. He's also the co-founder of Maryland Million. So lots of good stuff going on. Lots of fun. Maryland Million Day, $6 million in handle. Also, we made a little history was made at Maryland Million 2021, and let's start with that history.
And hello, beautiful. Ask the question to kick away. She's got the lead by 2.5. Street Loot running big on the inside. And Malibu Beauty, 1 furlong left to go. Hello, beautiful by 4 lengths. Battles on for second. Street Loot and Malibu Beauty. Hello, beautiful. Here she is, racing into Maryland Million history. Hello, beautiful. She'll win by 3 or so lengths. Malibu.
Hello, beautiful. Won a Maryland Million race for the third consecutive year. That enabled her to join a list of just 6 other horses with 3 Maryland Million wins. Among the others on the list are the late, great Ben's Cat, 3-time winner of the Turf Sprint, and I believe 3 other times he was second in different Maryland Million races. Also, Millionaire, 8 Too Fast to Catch. He won the Classic 3 times. And National Hall of Famer, Safely Kept, won the Maryland Million Distaff 3 times. Also, amid all that, won the Breeders' Cup Sprint against the boys. So if you win 3 Maryland Million races, you're keeping pretty good company. And that's what Hello Beautiful is doing. She's a 4-year-old filly by Golden Lad. She won the Maryland Million Lassie as a 2-year-old and now has taken the Distaff 2 consecutive years. She's trained by Brittany Russell. Brittany bought her for $6,500 when she was a yearling. She's now won 10 races and gone on to earn over $580,000 in her career. Heavy on Toledo in the irons, pretty big achievement for Hello Beautiful. Now, a little bit later on the card, the featured $150,000 Marilyn Million Classic, Prendimi was making his third start in the Classic, and this time around, the six-year-old would not be denied.
They turn for home, and Prendimi trying to see it out. Prendimi's in front from Tappin' Cat in second. The poser, the center of the track, and Torture Truth is fourth. Prendimi, a stubborn foe. Prendimi just there and hanging on. Prendimi, Torture Truth, gradually gaining ground on the inside. Tappin' Cat, the poser on the far outside. Prendimi, so tenacious. Prendimi holding on. Prendimi does it. Prendimi to win from Tappin' Cat. Then the poser was...
6-year-old Prendimi making sure third time's a charm, gets his first Classic win in his third try. He was a good second in 2019, was kind of up the track last year. He's a son of Dance with Ravens. He was bred in New Jersey and is owned by G.J. Stable. Chatted with trainer Louis Carvajal Jr. afterwards, and he was saying, you know, this is kind of a tough horse. He doesn't always want to do it. You don't always know what he feels like doing or when he feels like doing it, but certainly on Saturday in the Marilyn Million Classic with Michael Sanchez in the irons, he felt like doing it, and he did it very well, just holding off the favorite Tappin' Cat to win the $150,000 Marilyn Million Classic. All right, on today's show, as I said, we're going to do some Breeders' Cup preview stuff. Derby Bill going to join me and chat about Breeders' Cup, and it's going to be Derby Bill, so who knows what else we might touch on in our time together. But before we get there, I want to kind of put a bow on the Delaware Park meet for 2021. Delaware Park is concluding its season today. They got a nice 9-race card. It's a fun card. They have a couple of nice races today. So encourage you to check that out. We, as I mentioned, handicapping contest also featuring Delaware. Certainly the feature of the meet is always the Delaware handicap. And grab a second here. The stretch run, Josh Brown on the mic for his first Delaware handicap call.
Gibberish is going to try to press past the entire length of the stretch, and Queen Nakia has a gaping hole if good enough up the rail. They pass the eighth pole, and Miss Marissa is coming up with a huge effort today. Queen Nakia is getting closer, and so is Gibberish, but Miss Marissa is victorious in the Delaware handicap to beat Gibberish, Queen Nakia, and Dream Marie.
All right, Josh Brown on the call. Miss Marissa winning the 2021 Delaware Handicap, the feature of the Delaware Park meet. And as we now get into sort of recapping and looking at the Delaware Park meet for 2021, let's bring in our Delaware correspondent for the Racing Biz, Mike Valiante, here to help us make sense of things. Mike, good morning. What's the weather like in Delaware this morning?
Good morning, Frank. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's clearing up. The track will probably be a little wet to start, but Delaware dries out pretty good. So if we don't get any more rain, it should be a pretty fair track today.
Well, that's certainly good news. We had a little bit of epic storming yesterday, so nice to hear things are looking okay in Delaware. Pretty nice card today. Before we get into sort of looking at the meet as a whole, anything jumping out to you on today's card? Anything that the bettors should be taking a look at?
I have to say you caught me a little bit unprepared, Frank. I'm still looking at the card, so I don't want to give a half-baked opinion on anything. I agree with you. The card probably has a couple races today where you get a little bit of value. And as you know from the weekly column that I write for you, I tend to, particularly when I'm just going to play one card, Delaware, I tend to do, I'll say, 50% of my handicapping before I get there. And then I look at the board and I'll skip races if the odds aren't suited to me, and I may change an opinion based on odds. So I don't lock in. You know, I've been handicapping a long time, and I remember the days when I would study the form, you know, for hours the night before and lock into some horses. I tend to do 30 or 40% of my handicapping morning of, and then let the board talk to me a little bit.
Yeah, well, and that's really how you have to handicap. I mean, if you just go in betting a strong opinion that you have without regards to the to the wagering, to the odds, or to other things going on, you're probably going to get yourself bankrupt in a hurry. So
yeah, exactly. You have to be judicious, skip races, and look for value.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the 2021 Delaware Park meet. I guess the first thing. I mean, the thing you kind of have to address here, the passing, sort of right at the beginning of the meet, of really Mr. Delaware Park himself, Rich Glaser.
Yeah, absolutely. I would equate that, and I'll try to give a Maryland reference and a Philly reference. I would equate to, you know, when Chuck Thompson was no longer doing the Oriole games, or Richie Ashburn was no longer doing the Philly games, something was missing for a while when those familiar faces and voices weren't there. I mean, Delaware Park's been open since 1937, and Rich has been a bettor there or a fan there or an employee there for 65% of that time. And he's been an employee there for 40%, or was an employee there for 40% of that time. And so, I mean, that's very iconic. And You know Rich's story. I mean, for people who are there, first of all, he would do the paddock show, and his analysis of the turf racing I thought was very good. He would do the replay show, and that was more of a thing before the internet, when you could only get your replays on TV. He also did an hour-long talk show, if you go back a little bit of ways ago. That was a little bit novel for Delaware Park at that time. But more importantly, when you walked around the track, you saw Rich, you heard Rich. If you had a question, if you had a complaint, he would be an unofficial customer service liaison. The guy had a passion for the sport, loved what he was doing. That showed. He was always respectful to fans, and it's truly a loss. And it didn't feel quite the same. I know he wasn't there last year because of COVID and his health, but you thought he was coming back. And it just didn't feel quite the same when he wasn't there this year.
No, certainly I agree with that. Rich was a great ambassador for the sport and a true lover of the sport. And, you know, one of the things I always would remember is on the turf races, he would do his paddock show, and he loved turf racing. And as soon as it was done, he would go, he would place a bet, and then he would come up to the press box to watch it. He always watched the turf races from the press box because I think he felt like that was his best view. So he was
very good handicapper on turf, as you know. I mean, most turf handicappers rely on breeding, and he specifically would study bloodlines that he had tracked for 20, 30, 40 years and said, hey, these bloodlines basically show a net profit in and of themselves. And he was very religious to that. I asked him one time, look, Rich, if you had identified a horse and now it's run 6-7 times, not living up to the standards you thought. And he said, no, I stay committed to that generally. And he swore that, you know, on those races alone, he had a flat profit. And how many people can say that?
you're certainly certainly not wrong. Rich used to have me on occasionally, like when I went up to Delaware, he'd have me on a sort of guest handicapper race, which was always fun to do. And, you know, he often had a little history tidbit, like if it was a stakes race, a bit of why the race was called whatever it was called. And he was a friend to the – he really was – I say this – this is not true of there are many people who work as analysts or guest handicappers, whatever, in racing that this is not true of, but Rich truly was a friend to the $2 bettor.
Definitely. He definitely was. And as I said, you could approach him at the track if I had a question or a complaint or a concern, and not just me, any fan, he would definitely listen. And look, he didn't come from some blue blood connection to get that job. He basically went to the track and sort of defined a role for himself. They took him on and he developed that role and built on that role. But yes, I mean, he was a great friend of the fam.
He also, you mentioned he hosted the replay show, which when Rich was there was truly a so bad it's good kind of show. It was just, it was completely hokey. He had, if you recall, he had the stuffed horse that dropped down from the clouds named Bungie, and Bungie
yes.
would give Rich a winner the next day. And the last season he did it, which was at 19 maybe, Bungie did show a flatbed profit, so at least according to Bungie.
Yeah.
So, to your
point, that hokiness was genuine, though. It wasn't like a shtick that he developed, saying, you know, I'll do this and it's kind of campy. That was just kind of who Rich was, and I think he was smart enough to know that people found that humorous. And so, again, just a genuine guy all the way through.
All right. Well, Rich Glaser, certainly a loss to Delaware Park, a loss to the thoroughbred industry as a whole. All right. Couple other things. Mike, talking with Mike Valiante, the Delaware correspondent for the Racing Biz. Give out your Twitter, Mike. What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Sad and Sulk, which is short for Saddles and Sulkies. And I know we're talking thoroughbred racing here today, but I'm not going to say I'm one of the few, but I'm probably one of the 15 or 20% of the bettors of the track that do both thoroughbred and standardbred. In fact, I started my handicapping by going to Brandywine in the early 70s and then sort of picked up Delaware a year or two later. So it's at Sad and Sulk.
At Sad and Sulk, Saddles and Sulkies on Twitter. Now, one of the really, I think, big stories of the season, Mike, at Delaware Park this year was the emergence, and that's probably not even a strong enough word, of jockey Jamie Rodriguez, who came from pretty good rider to sort of dominant force at Delaware Park this year.
Yeah, I would agree. You did a nice feature on him this year, and I think prior to you doing it, you reached out to me and look, as I always thought he was a good jock, but prior to this year, I gave probably more credit to his success from the fact, look, he rides first call for Jamie Ness, and not that that's a guarantee of anything, but that's certainly a big help. And not that I thought he was a mediocre jockey, I thought he was better than that, but I slanted towards, probably more due to the stock he rides than his talent. But as I watched him this year, first of all, down the stretch, when he's in a duel with somebody, he wins 9 out of 10 times. Tactically, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I'm told by his agent, John Welbacher, that he's a very hard worker, nice guy. He's the significant other of Amber Cobb. So all during that nonsense this year, he kept his composure, which I'm sure was not easy to do. My understanding, he's going to ride for Ness in Maryland and maybe even make some jaunts up to New York during the winter. And I mean, Maryland fans are familiar with him, and that's a tough jockey colony, so he won't be as dominant. But he's a talent, and I think he still has room to grow, too.
Yeah, no, it just a huge season. He snapped Carol Cedeno's, I think, six-year streak as the leading rider at Delaware Park, and he didn't just snap it. He's absolutely running away with the title, so a huge season for Jamie Rodriguez. You mentioned the Amber Cobb thing. The latest, as you may have seen, the Delaware Park stewards, Delaware Thoroughbred Racing Commission stewards, revoked her license the other day on the 28th. They revoked her license for a number of issues, including failing to appear at a disciplinary hearing they had scheduled, and that they had evidence that indicated that she was continuing to participate in racing while suspended. So the hits just keep coming for Amber Cobb, and they appear to be entirely self-inflicted. So that's
It took a long time to get there, and that's probably where it needed to go. It was a little bit herky-jerky of the way they arrived at that. But at the end of the day, it's best for racing that she's not training. And, it wasn't like it was a huge stable anyway and a big moneymaker. But, it's come to a logical conclusion, I think.
Yeah, no, it certainly seems that way. Now let's talk about some of the 2-year-olds you saw this year. The end of the meet had, a couple weeks ago now, but the last two stakes were the 2-year-old stakes, Red Hot Mess, and won the filly race, and the boys race. The horse's name escapes me at the moment, but some interesting 2-year-olds.
I'm going to talk about one of the interesting – or two interesting 2-year-olds. I'll start with the one I like the most, and that was Defend. Cal Lynch trained, Nick Santa owned. That's a familiar name for Delaware Park fans. Nick always has a handful of horses each year, runs them where they belong, uses either Pino or Cal as his trainers. But Defen broke his maiden spectacularly early in August by 8 lengths without the jockey even having to touch him. And I spoke to Charlie Marquez, and he said, yeah, but Charlie's not been around for a long time, but he said this is probably the best two-year-old he had ever been on. And sometimes the handicapper, I'll fall victim to seeing a performance and overrating it and then maybe staying loyal to that horse when it doesn't prove out to be what I think it's going to be. And I'm not saying this is Barbaro or Fleet Alex or Tap at all, who started their career at Delaware Park early. But this is a very nice horse. And it isn't just me that thinks so. I mean, after that maiden win, they sent him to the hopeful. Witt was in that field. I think it was a 10-horse field. He went off third choice at 7-1, ran greenly, got into trouble. Jockey just stopped trying with him. But this horse has potential. Came back this week to win again. And I think they're going to lay low for a little while, this horse. He's still growing. He's still learning. But I think, you know, if things break their way, I wouldn't be surprised if they give a stab next year in the Jerome or the Withers, you know, and they'll need some racing in between now and then. The horse will continue to develop, hopefully. But that's their plans. And again, I'm not saying we have a Derby winner here. We have a very, very nice horse, and the best two-year-old I saw at Delaware all year by far. And hopefully I didn't put the mush on him. And, but yeah, there's definitely something there, and we'll see how that develops. The other one that impressed me was,
I want to just jump in on you for 1 second here with another point on Defend. You know, that race he won the other day, that wasn't a bad group. 40 Stripes was in that group, and 40 Stripes had run second in the Smoke Glacken, and a pretty good second in the Smoke Glacken up at Monmouth. So, and the Defend pretty much dusted him. It dusted everybody, really. He finished 8 or so lengths ahead of 40 Stripes and won the race by about 2 or 3 lengths. So pretty strong performance. I mean, I think you're right. This is an interesting two-year-old. Going to be fun to see what happens next. Sorry.
Yeah. And I should have talked about that field. It was an optional claim or 75. There was only one horse in for that claim of 75. So basically it was an allowance race. And yes, the Smoke Black in second for 40 Stripes. So there was a decent opponent in there, one or two decent opponents. And, you know, I hate to talk out of school. I know the owner has received offers on this horse of significant amount. And, you know, he's probably vacillating as to whether to accept them. So it isn't just me sitting in front of my computer being the only one singing the songs of this horse. And, again, what it'll eventually become, you know how that goes. That could be anything. But the horse has tons of potential.
For sure. So you said there was another one you wanted to highlight as well.
Oh, yeah. Nosabe Nada, Scott Peck. You know, again, I know you did a nice feature on him also. I believe he's 90. The horse, after breaking his maiden, has run in 3 stakes at Delaware Park, has finished first, second, or third in those stakes. He's a big horse, still learning, still growing. I don't think he has quite the potential that Defend does, but a very nice horse. And I know Scott's real high on him. And again, you know, Delaware Park has a long history of horses starting out and doing great, great things. I don't think these two are quite of that stature, but they were clearly horses to watch. And, you know, as they work their way through allowance races, minor stakes, or maybe in Defend's case, some bigger stakes, you need to give them a look.
Yeah, I'm curious. Have you talked with Scott about this horse at all? He Scott doesn't typically train outside of the Delaware meet, so curious what he might have in mind for this horse. Have you talked with him?
Yeah, I have not spoken with him, and so you know, anything I've you know, talked to or about what he might have said has come from pieces like yours, and the local paper did a feature on him. But he's high on this horse, and I said physically. And the last stakes race, a mile, so don't know. Might be suited better for sprinting, but, you know, this horse, again, has a lot of potential. And Scott's, you know, when a guy's been around the track as long as Scott, I'll defer. If he's saying the horse is something, I'll defer and agree.
Yeah, the horse was, he was pretty green in the lane in that last race. So I'm certainly not quite going to say that he wants to sprint and not go around the ground just yet, until we see him not hinder his own progress quite as much. And his other, you know, he had won, he ran down Rebel Empire to win one of the, maybe it was the Owner's Day stake for two-year-olds, and Rebel Empire had beaten him two races before. And one interesting thing that came out of that was a jockey switch after that second race where No Sabe Nada got into just world of trouble in that race. And jockey switch seemed to have gotten him a little bit cleaner trip next time out, which paid dividends. So should be
That's another example of what we were talking about earlier, because when, you know, he ran in the first stakes, he was the choice, got in trouble. And then the next time out, his odds ticked up a little bit. And, you know, it was almost as if he overcompensated for the fact that, you know, he had gotten beaten. He went off slightly higher than he should have been and won. I had him that day, not that it was 10-1 or anything. But again, you know, when you look for value and you just flip the fact that in the first stakes race, he's favored, and the next one, he's a couple ticks higher, you know, and ignored it because of the bad trip. You got a little bit of value there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so those are a couple two-year-olds, No Sabe Nada, defend, a couple of them maybe put on your stable mail going forward. Now, I played the clip a minute ago of the Delaware handicap for 2021 that went to Miss Marissa. Talking with Mike Valiante here about the Delaware Park meet. Mike, what's your I know you have some thoughts, I guess, on what needs to happen or what you would like to see happen with the Delaware handicap going forward. I'm curious as to what you have in mind.
Yeah, I want to propose a couple things. I'll start with the background to say, look, you know, 2011, you had Blind Luck and Havre de Grace in an iconic race, a great race. But subsequent to that, and especially the last few years, the race is either being won by an Elate or a Songbird that's clearly best than anything else in there. Songbird won the race despite not really being physically sound, and you know, Martini Glass was second. I can't even tell you who the heck else was in the race.
Line of Best Fit was third. There you go.
Okay, well, thank you. You got a good memory, Frank.
Sure.
And LA dusted weak league, you know, weak fields 2 years in a row. So, look, it's not going to be graded back up to a grade one the way it's going, and it probably will never go back up to a grade one. So here are just three things I want to toss around with you where they may shake it up a little bit and maybe improve the quality of the race. I'll start with the least radical. Maybe they could consider changing the distance. Like a mile and a quarter, we can go on a long song and dance about horses not being bred for endurance anymore. And a mile and a quarter is a tough, tough ground to get. There's better races probably at Saratoga and Monmouth that the real grade one horses are going to go to. So, you know, maybe think about switching it down. I would even say as short as a mile. That might get you some sprinters stretching out. Might get you some horses who will come that wouldn't come for the mile and a quarter. I love tradition. I love history. But, you know, every once in a while you have to think about changing if something isn't working. And I fear that the race will continue to go down in quality. And God forbid go down to grade three or not even graded. I mean, I think it will be graded in the near future. But so that's one thing to consider. I don't know what you think about that. I'll pause.
You know, 2 years – last year they ran it, I think, at a mile and an eighth. I think there's – you know, I like it at a mile and a quarter, but I think there's a legitimate argument that, you know, even the Breeders' Cup Distaff is a mile and an eighth. So we just don't really have the races. You know, people don't, for whatever reason, for whatever million different reasons, you know, people don't send horses a mile and a quarter in general anymore. Right. You know, the handicap division of boys, they do a little bit still, but for fillies, I mean, this race might be the only 10-furlong race left for older fillies and mares. So I think you can make an argument about that. I got to be honest, I hate the idea of cutting it to a mile just because I don't like the mile distance at Delaware Park because it starts too close to the turn. So if you're in the 8, 9, 10 hole, you're pretty much out in the parking lot and you lose. So I don't like it for that reason, but I also don't like it because it's kind of a it's an irrelevant distance for fillies. I mean, I think if you're trying to make the Delaware Handicap an important race for older fillies and mares, it's either got to sprint or go a mile and an eighth, in my opinion.
All right. Well, maybe we'll compromise at a mile and 16th. But another suggested change I'll have is perhaps moving it on the calendar. Maybe if it was in August, by then the horses that have proven to themselves are not truly grade ones and had fooled themselves by going to, quote, better races in Monmouth and Saratoga will now have been determined by their owners and be trainers to be truly grade two horses. And maybe you could get a feel that, you know, the last 2 years, I'd be hard pressed to say it was even grade three quality. I would be happy if you could get a field of grade two horses, legitimate grade two horses, and have four or five contenders and value on the board. And by moving it a little farther down the calendar, I think you could probably have some horses come who've already been separated as wheat and chaff and determine, hey, I don't have the biggest ambitions anymore, but this is still a named race and a good race to go to, and the purse is decent. So that might make the field more competitive. So that's my second suggestion.
I think the problem with that, I think they're really trying to stay off Saratoga because Saratoga just takes all the air out of the room once it starts. And I know it has already these days started by, the last couple of years, I think it's already started by the beginning of Delaware, but you haven't quite gotten in the meat of things. So I think, that's the rationale in terms of, I think both in terms of attracting horses and bets. You don't want to be tackling a big day at Saratoga because you can't win that fight. So, I don't know, Mike. I think that the folks at Delaware are really looking at this, trying to think of how do we get to a grade one, not how do we settle into a grade two groove.
You're probably right, and again, that's why these are, at least provoking or thought-provoking or maybe a little radical, a little controversial, and I'm sure management would disagree, but, sometimes, again, I think you need to think outside the box, and, hey, I'll admit I'm 64. I'm usually the old fogey. So
not in horse racing, you're not. You're the young guy in horse racing.
Yeah. Well, everything's relative there, but in terms of, again, I love tradition. I would love to get back to the grade one. I don't see it happening, and there's nothing wrong sometimes being a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And again, we could even get more radical. I mean, the Indiana Derby gets run on a Wednesday now, so it doesn't step on any toes. And hey, there's not huge crowds at the track anyway. So if the race was featured on a day other than a Saturday, it might bring in a huge handle. And, long gone are the days, you've been to Delaware, long gone are the days anybody's going to be sitting in that grandstand all the way down to where you come in. That just isn't going to come back again. So they could consider even moving the day, which wasn't one of my ideas. I'll go to my last idea if you want me to move on to the last one. And this is probably the most radical. Why not switch it to the turf? Now, asterisk, red flag, warning bells. The turf course at Delaware Park is very fragile. I'll term it as that. So if you move this race to the turf, it probably would end up coming off of it. But that's the most radical and probably one just for fun, water cooler discussion. And I'm sure the track isn't considering doing this, but something to consider because something does have to change. And I hear you. They want to get it back to that grade one status. And maybe they will. I wish they will. I wish them luck. I don't see it happening.
No, it's tough. I mean, there's so much competition for horses, with everybody having slots now. I mean, the purse is very, very good for the Delaware Handicap, but it doesn't stand out the way it once did. We're New York. I mean, in New York now, an allowance race is a $100,000 race. So, it's a challenge, and I'm always amazed at how unwilling some trainers are, to take shots. And a couple of years ago, I think it was the Songbird year. I think Chad Brown had a horse that had been life and death with Songbird a race before, and he passed on the Delaware Handicap, which was his, the biggest purse he was going to run for, but he went for the easier spot where he'd be 3-5 against no one in particular, rather than being 2-1 while Songbird's 8-5. You know, I mean, look, you can't argue with the guy's success, but as a fan, as somebody who wants to see really high quality, good racing, I can bemoan their ability to avoid important races. You know, it's not good for the sport as a whole.
No, and I agree with everything you said there, and trainers are, you know, that's the modus operandi. I have trainers, and I guess if I was the owner, I might even agree with it, but yeah, it's bad for the sport.
So, but I'd love to see the Del Cap get, I'd love to see it get back to grade one status, but even more, I'm with you, you know, the last couple of years, we either had sort of one really standout, terrific filly in the race, you know, Elate, Royal Delta, you know, Songbird, horses like that, which is cool because you get to see a big star, and that's always fun, but you'd like to see the fields, you know, you'd like to see Havre de Grace and Blind Lock walking through the door again. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and to that point, in the midst of that Royal Delta late run, I forget which year it was downgraded. It was just downgraded a few years ago. I think it was the only grade one, certainly was the only grade one downgraded by the committee that year, and I think it might have been the only graded stakes downgraded by the committee that year. So they got Royal Delta to come. They got Songbird to come, and it still went down in grade. So it's really pushing a big rock up a very steep hill. And so I'm conceding and trying to find the niche, but you and I can disagree. Since we're both fairly young, I'll bet you a lunch it doesn't get back up to grade one in the next 10 years.
All right. I lost it over under yesterday about a friend of mine. So, yeah, I need to recoup that. I'll take that. Sure.
Okay. All right. We're on record.
Okay. That's good. All right. Talking with Mike Valiante here. And Mike, I think we're going to about close this down, put a bow on Delaware Park. Any last thoughts on the Delaware Park meet?
No, I'll just maybe could have opened with this. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good meet. You know, the challenges that Delaware Park has, short fields, again, the turf course challenge exacerbates that. All tracks have those challenges. So, you know, overall, the pick fives were pretty generous this year. Second year in a row, you got generous pick fives, even though there were some short fields in there. There were enough turf races that made that alone interesting. It would just be more interesting if there was more. And it wasn't always a day. It wasn't always a day of Golden Gate and Presque Isle Downs of 5 or 6 horse dirt race. And you didn't have too many of those. So overall, pretty good. I think the horse contract's coming up. I hope they sign another one for a couple of years. And I wish management the best.
Yeah, no, good stuff. They, you know, for folks who are thinking of going to Delaware, I think it's one of my favorite tracks to spend a day at. It's really a nice place, and I'm a fan.
It's definitely a beautiful facility, and everybody who goes there says that. I tend to try to bring a couple newcomers each year and get them interested, and even if they never come back, everyone, without exception, says, wow, this is a very pretty place. You know, the paddock is talked about. Everybody realizes it's a nice place. But if you haven't been there, you walk in, you can see people say, man, well, this is really nice. So. I'm hoping, look, I am 64, so I hope the track outlives me. That's probably up in the air too. But again, I wish management the best, and I congratulate them on the season they had. And one last thing, they had a nice tribute for Rich in the middle of it. So we're ending up where we started, which I thought was a very classy thing for them to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, good stuff. They had named a race for him on Owner's Day and a winner's circle presentation. And, definitely a lot of love around for Rich Glazier, the late Rich Glazier, Mr. Delaware Park for many, many, many years. All right, Mike Valiante, I'm sure you got to go. I'm sure you got to get yourself to the track pretty shortly. So I'm going to let you do
that.
Yeah,
now I have to do my handicapping now. And thank you for having me, Frank. And, I'll see you probably in Maryland a couple of times this winter.
Look forward to it. All right. Thank you so much. That was Mike Valiante here on Off to the Races. And I believe it is just about Derby Bill time. Let me see if I have a fanfare to bring in Derby Bill. Let's see what we got. Derby Bill, have you ever had an intro quite like that?
No, I had Bad to the Bone by the Delaware Destroyer in my past, but that was a different experience. And tribute to Delaware, your Delaware man there. And the first brewery ever at a racing casino, the 1937 Brewing Company, started at Delaware this year. The first state for almost everything except for Derbyville winning.
What is the first state for Derbyville winning?
Hopefully next Friday, because I'm feeling juvenile, very juvenile today with Halloween around the corner. So juvenile Friday, Del Mar, and then mature on Saturday like a fine Napa Valley wine. And a fine handicapper like Rich Glazer, you paid a tribute to him. They will name a race after me someday at Colonial Downs. It'll be called the Get Out of Debt Allowance Feature.
I like it. I like it. All right, talking to Derby Bill Watson here. Going to be talking a little Breeders' Cup. So, Derby Bill, you emailed me the other day. If I am not mistaken, what you told me was that our Virginia Derby winner's in action this weekend.
Yeah. So the Twilight Derby out in Santa Anita closing day with the mandatory payoff. So there's a lot of people trying to build up their Breeders' Cup bankroll and piggy banks with this last day at Santa Anita. And that's the Twilight Derby is grade two. So it's a step up for the Virginia Derby champion and run race 10 out there late, about 7:30, so you can watch all your NFL and then catch this race. Wooten's asset, about 12-1, I've got him pegged to be a pretty big upset if he beats Rock Your World's the favorite in this one, the John Sadler and the West Coast horses. But we'll give him we'll put him in the exotics and the maybe a superfecta with Wooten's asset out of the Derby. Well rested, obviously. He hadn't raced since the Virginia Derby. And Graham Motion's not going to ship a horse across country that's not capable of finishing in the top three. You know, and this one, Mike Smith gets aboard here. Ortiz wrote him in the Jose Ortiz wrote him in the Virginia Derby, as you remember. And Mr. Ortiz is busy at Keeneland and won't ship to California until next week. So Mike Smith jumps aboard here. And nice race to watch after the NFL games tomorrow night and right when the trick-or-treaters are here. So there might be some get out of here going on at my OTB.
Do you like him in this spot, Bill? I loved him in the Virginia Derby. I was all over Wooten Asset in that race, but what do you think about him?
I remember you're very fond of this horse. The Bald Eagle, he ran up your way in Pimlico, and he ran at Delaware. He's run at Del Mar before. That's the good thing. He ran in the big grade three last year out there, so he has experience. This horse runs at Belmont. He runs at Pimlico. He runs at Delaware, Colonial, France. I mean, this horse is shipping across country. It's not going to bother him. It's like it'd be like a 3-hour first class ride with Frank Vespi.
That sounds like its own version of hell right there.
Hey, I haven't got my, yeah, it's also election time too. And I haven't got my degenerate stimulus check this year. So got to dig deep.
That's it. You're going to have to hit a couple to fatten the bankroll up for next weekend, huh?
Yeah, there's no candidate capable of my vote because there's no stimulus check available for degenerates. So, yeah, the only thing we can vote for around here is a casino in this area.
Well, which you're going to vote for, so that'll be a thing, right?
No, 1-9. I mean, that thing will get through. I mean, politicians need money to blow.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. That's a big festival there in Delaware. I like that. I like Mr. Glazer. I like everything about Delaware. I hope it doesn't go away. I mean, there's a squeeze going on with these new tracks being built in Kentucky, and there's a squeeze everywhere. What am I talking about?
It's tough. Times are tough right now, smaller fall crops and all the stuff.
The Breeders' Cup is a bailout for sure for the degenerates.
Yep.
I mean, you got 2 days, 14 races, and they're adding a turf pick four on Saturday, not Friday, but Saturday, with the turf sprint, the Filial Mare, the Breeders' Cup, and the Breeders' Cup turf. So next week's show, I'll have that on there. I'm going to go after the turf pick four, the Breeders' Cup turf pick four, a new innovative wager, just like the Keeneland turf pick three I haven't hit yet. So maybe we'll go. Maybe the additional race will make it easier.
Well, let's hope for the best. So let's talk Breeders' Cup for a minute here, Bill. Kind of going through the PPs, the pre-entries are now available. I mean, one of the things that jumped out to me, the very first race that I looked at was the Juvenile Fillies, which is taking place Friday, and there are two horses pre-entered that broke their maidens at Colonial Downs. That's Hidden Connection for Brett Calhoun and Sequest for Dallas Stewart. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I was trying to tap in some odds here early from the English blokes, sports books, and everybody that puts out the Breeders' Cup odds early. And Hidden Connection was like 4-1, I believe, in the Juvenile Filly there. Ika Zula's the favorite, or Grace Hadler, probably. But Hidden Connection there with Brett Calhoun, he's definitely was a powerful maiden win here at Colonial Downs, though. 4-1's not bad, so might get definitely in the money, in the picture of the win place show for a Colonial connected horse. Sequest was Dallas Stewart's maiden winner here, as you mentioned, in the same race, but Hidden Connection definitely the better one there in the Juvenile Filly.
Now, back in the day, like the Virginia Derby winner was pretty much a regular in the Breeders' Cup turf. So, I guess a couple of years ago, Four Wheel Drive won the Rosie Stakes at Colonial and then turned around and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. So it's got to be pretty cool to, see these horses and see them win a local race and then turn around and they're on the biggest stage.
Well, that's the fun part about being a, not a grade one, type race track. You see the youngsters they ship in, like back in the Victory Gallop days, and we got to see the Hoss down here, and they moved on to the Breeders' Cup, and obviously the turf racing with Kitten's Joy and, some of these horses from the Ramsey barn that changed turf racing in the Breeders' Cup to challenge the foreign invasion. Definitely a plus to see them when they're young, and then they succeed and move on to the Breeders' Cup here. It's a little bit with the reinvention of Colonial Downs. It'll take another year or two to have a couple superstars if they can get them to run at 2 years old. But the Juveniles really was a big thing with Victory Gallop back in the day as a two-year-old, put them on the map. So it's a nice timing for the meet. It has been before the Breeders' Cup too, because you could prep here and then go to the, Kentucky and then work your way to the Breeders' Cup.
Talking with Derby Bill Watson here. We're talking, looking ahead a little bit to next Friday and Saturday Breeders' Cup action at Del Mar. Have you been to Del Mar, Bill?
Yes, I've been to Del Mar and stayed in Marina Del Rey and almost got kicked out of the Cheesecake Factory there. But that's another story after a bad day at the track, but
story for a different day.
It happens. The only good thing there is Del Mar is, Marina Del Rey place we were, Stevie Nicks was there. So that made my day. So
look at you keeping the right kind of company.
Yeah. If you can get some Benjamins and walk around with some Benjamins once in a while and save up all year long. See, most people have an Xmas fund. I've started a Breeders' Cup fund where you put in $25 a month into it and get a 0.01 interest rate at the bank and end up having having some money to spend next week.
Attaboy. So speaking of horses that we saw locally, there's a couple of horses that raced at Laurel that are also showing up on Breeders' Cup Friday. You got Consumer Spending. She won the Salima Stakes at Laurel for Chad Brown, and she's headed to the Juvenile Fillies Turf. And you got the other horse there, Ready to Perform. He won the Laurel Futurity for Brad Cox, and he's headed to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. So that's kind of a neat thing. When they stretched the Salima out and bolstered the purse of it a couple years ago, that got Sharing to show up, and Sharing won that race and then turned around and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. So that ended up being a pretty good move for the folks at the Maryland Jockey Club, and having two more Breeders' Cup starters come out of those races, that's pretty positive development.
Yes, tying things together is always nice. The turf racing's definitely picked up in Maryland since they redid the turf course, and going to run in the summer next year for some turf racing. So that'll Breeders' Cup prep type horses will be looking at that, you know, as a plus. Like Extravagant Kid here from these parts is dangerous in the sprint race out there. Some good odds, probably 14-1, but the connections with the all-time leading owner at Colonial Downs, Mr. Dars Racing, has Extravagant Kid. And just nice to see all these East Coast horses shipping out there, and going to enjoy 75 and sunny. And especially your Maryland bred horse, it probably might be the horse this year, Nick Sko, in the big race. So, you know, against Hot Rod Charlie and Art Collector, and quite a classic we got going on here for, you know, the good part about Del Mar is, you know, the juvenile races are after work. So at 5:30 happy hour starts the juvenile races Friday. And then with the West Coast time, you know, you've got all your evening races in prime time. The Breeders' Cup Classic will be, 8:30 at night. So, and barring the World Series, this should dominate the ratings at that time of night.
Let's talk about the turf sprint here for a minute before we get to the classic. You mentioned Extravagant Kid, owned by David Russ. Pretty cool story. Nick Hahn, who couldn't make it this morning, but he's interviewed David a couple times on Off to the Races. And this is a horse they claimed has won $1 million. He took him to Royal Ascot, took him to Dubai. I mean, this horse has been a world traveler and has run a ton of good races. It's a pretty neat story, Bill.
Yeah, anytime you can go over and grab a grade one from the Queen, it's always it builds a bankroll up where you can afford to take the red eye on the 747 in the old days, back and forth across the pond. But you know, turf racing allows that. I mean, you have to do it now to compete with the foreign turf horses. Used to be the turf horses come in here, and this year they're coming too. It's like 46 pre-entered turf horses shipping in from Europe, you know, this year. So, you know, the competition and the way that they're building the turf industry in America is a positive to compete with these guys. You don't want to have 46 European horses come over and win every Breeders' Cup race.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. There is quite a battalion of Euros coming over this year to run in the various turf races. So that should be fun. Should be interesting.
Have you ever been to Del Mar?
I have been to Del Mar.
Yeah. Yeah, why wouldn't you want to go there?
Yeah, it's San Diego.
I mean, San Diego, 75 degrees, ocean breeze. I mean, you have a bad day, you walk out to the beach and pop a cold one.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, when we were out there one day, we were on the beach and we're like, yeah, let's go catch the end of the races. So you walk over from the beach. How great is that?
Oh, great setup.
So yeah, no, good stuff. Good stuff at Del Mar. Should be a lot of fun. Let's talk about the classic for 1 minute here, and let me just tee up the stretch run of the Maryland bred from last year.
Into the stretch, and Nick's goal just keeps on going. He's got a two-length lead with a furlong to run. Complexity is second. Then to the outside, Sharp Samurai trying to put in a bid from third, but Nick's goal is still well clear as they come down to the final yards, and Nick's goal goes all the way in the dirt mile.
Nick's Go, the Maryland bred, won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile last year. He's obviously going to be one of the major players in the Breeders' Cup Classic this year. Pretty good chance he goes favored. In fact, Bill, what do you think about this horse? Do you have questions about his ability to get the mile and a quarter, or are you comfortable with that?
I had questions until the way he's performed the last couple races. It's just taking away all my question marks there. And he's 2-1 is the favorite. The early line with the blokes of in Britain sent me the line. So Nick's Go is 2-1 and Essential Quality right there with them at 3-1. So the top two there. And then you have the Medina Spirit and the Bob Baffert storyline there with Max Player, and Hot Rod Charlie will probably, if he's not distracted by the beach, and keeps his head in the game at 7-1. You got Art Collector here with Art Collector with William Mott. He's not shabby at 8-1. So that's it's not 20 horses in coming out of the gate at the Derby, but it's 10 quality horses here, and Nick's Go definitely is has the edge here, and it'll be a first Maryland bred in a while to take it.
I would guess Cigar was the last one.
Yeah, the Immortal Cigar.
Yes, see.
Got to see him run, too. So didn't get to see him run at Del Mar, but got to see him run at Suffolk Downs. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, in the Mass Cap. So,
what was that like? That must have been cool.
Oh, electric. I mean, you had people coming straight from Cheers Sports Bar to the track in Logan Airport, flying people in and out. Just a nutsy facility, but great electric atmosphere. Like Maryland Million Day when it was 30,000, and they turned it into like a monster day there, the Mass Cap. Fond memories of Suffolk Downs on that day, because Boston's a happening little town.
Yeah, no, it's Suffolk was all right. I managed to get there once before its demise. It was a decent little track.
And I did the double. The Suffolk Downs and the Wonderland Dog Track was right down the street. So we did the Suffolk and Wonderland dinner. So quite a day.
You are truly a degenerate. It is a thing to behold. Now, having said that, I never got to Wonderland, but I was to Green Mountain when they were racing dogs.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, beautiful Pownall, Vermont.
Give people choices. That's what I'm all about. You're over 21. Over 21, do what you can as long as it's legal.
So do you feel like you're going to end up on Nick's Go in the Classic, or are you going to be looking around for other value?
Well,
or have you gotten
your West Coast money with Bob Baffert shall come in on Medina Spirit there. You know, Bob caters to Del Mar and Santa Anita over there. So barring a pre-Breeders' Cup Classic storyline, something happening out there with the pharmaceuticals or something, Medina Spirit will go down, and Nick's Go might go up to about 3-1. You know, I don't see anybody going under 3-1 in that big race, because Hot Rod Charlie will get money from the West Coast. It's a lot of West Coast money out there, and they like to bet their local horses. So, there's some value. There's some deep value in that race going for with the Superfecta and the 10-cent Superfecta at the Breeders' Cup this year. So.
Oh, really? A dime super. All
yeah,
right.
That's what I did read that somewhere.
Can't beat that. That's good stuff. It should be fun. Art Collector, who you mentioned a minute ago, he won the Charlestown Classic. So another little bit of local connection there. Came in and got the money in the Charlestown Classic, and then turned around and won a grade one up at Saratoga. So he's certainly going to be entering this contest in good form. So should be a lot of fun. We're going to return to all of this in our next show, where we actually dig in with some handicap and get focused on trying to make some money at the Breeders' Cup. Breeders' Cup taking place Friday and Saturday, the 5th and 6th of November at Del Mar, where the turf meets the surf. If I were smart, I would have teed up that song, but I do not have it available to me at the moment. Bill, so have you been to the Breeders' Cup? Do you attend any Breeders' Cups?
No, I have not done the Breeders' Cup yet. I wanted to go when it was a mammoth, but it was like a monsoon rainstorm or something, and I wasn't dealing with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Like when they bring it to the East Coast, it's always dangerous weather compared to California or Gulfstream or something, you know.
Right, for sure. So it's
like the Super Bowl, putting it in Minnesota. I mean, people don't want to do that for their, you know, spending thousands of dollars on a trip. You don't want to spend it somewhere cold if you can go to San Diego or Gulfstream, you know, and tie into, you know, activities alongside the races.
Yeah, I went to it. We went to it a couple times when it was at Churchill, and it was cold. It gets cold there, so.
Makes a big difference. The East Coast races, the Belmont gets it. I think when Belmont gets it, they have to fight the darkness and the, you know, it's different. See, out west, you know, 8:30 here is 5:30 out there, so you don't have to fight for, you know, any under the lights racing.
Right. Any favorite Breeders' Cup wagering moments?
Nothing spectacular yet. I mean, nothing to pay the Christmas bills.
Well, maybe this is the year that changes.
It's always a goal to pay for the Butterball and Christmas with Breeders' Cup money.
That's a good goal. I like it.
The turf pick four, I'll work on that for you this week, and I'll send it out early to you. Once they don't draw the horses till Monday, so, you know, degenerates won't go crazy till about Tuesday.
But then all right.
Oh, it's like being in college doing speeders.
It's not the comparison I would have come up with, so well done.
I could have said Christmas trees. I think that's what they're called to keep things on the up and up.
Yes, to keep out of trouble. Any last thoughts, Bill, on Breeders' Cup or anything else?
Fascinated me. They got some extra bets in there. I like how they separated too with the juveniles on Friday and then the older delinquents on Saturday.
Always a big weekend, always a lot of fun. Fun to see. There's a Virginia bred in one of the races, a couple Maryland breds, some Pennsylvania breds. It'll be fun to see if any of them can make some noise, or any of the horses that raced at Colonial or Laurel or elsewhere around the Mid-Atlantic. Should be a lot of fun. So, Bill, we'll
the pronunciation of the foreign horses is always a laugh too for you on the show.
That's a really good point. I mean, that should be that might be the highlight, actually.
Yes, I will definitely be hitting the dictionary on some of these names.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. So, all right, Derby Bill Watson, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Hey, good luck with the Twilight Derby, and good luck with Halloween. And if you survive that, we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. I will look forward to it. All right. That is going to do it for us here on Off to the Races. I want to thank thank everybody who contributed. Derby Bill Watson, you just heard. Mike Valiante gave us a nice update or recap of the Delaware Park meet. So thanks to both of them. Thank you, listeners, for, you know, doing that listening thing. We appreciate it. Prevents us from talking to ourselves for no apparent reason. So thank you very much. Thank you for listening to Off to the Races here, powered by The Racing Biz. Tune in next week another edition of Off to the Race. We're going to be talking Breeders' Cup 2021. You can keep up with racing and breeding all week long on the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. You are listening to the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic, Racing and Breeding, the Racing Biz. My name is Frank Vesey. Have a great week, everybody. Catch you next time.